Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get this show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it,
baby. Let's go. Wait, see.
Rookie Fevers. Rookie Player Profile Edition.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever. I am here with the one and the only John Lobb. It has been way too freaking long. At Gridiron Skull 91 on Twitter, writer of the Diehards. Oh man, fantasy football diehards, rookie big board, and the draft seminar. That's at Draft Bible.
Yep.
How the hell are you? What did I forget, man? You are so busy. I said in our Twitter feed before we hopped on, like, how in the heck do you do this? Because I see you on everybody's show. I see you doing your own stuff. I see you with Matt Hicks. And you're old.
Sometimes I don't know how I do it myself. But I will say one thing in my personality. I'm very organized. And I could never do all of this without organizational abilities. And I've had it since a kid. When I was a kid, Swag, my mom would make fun of me. And just like I had to have the piggy bank over here. I knew where my trophy was. I knew how much money was in the piggy bank. Like I had my pillow. My desk was always clean. So, and I will admit, as a teacher, that is one of the most underrated skills, because I've seen so many teachers fail who just are not organized. I mean, it's bad, but I have that in me. Like, I'll wake up and I'll immediately go, okay, I have to research, Mario Williams today. I have to do this for my slides. And I'll have like a checklist. Like, I know these are the things I have to do and I do them. Like, I never put something off till tomorrow. Because if I did, I could never get all this stuff done, my friend.
I'm gonna be 100 with you right here, John. I feel like you talked to Michael Finero before you got on the show, and he was like, find a way to get Swags to be a little bit more organized, because he could really use that. Like, Finero's probably listened to you the whole time, and he's like, oh my god, please tell him.
Well, you know, it's funny because sometimes I feel bad because, like, I'll go to my co-podcasters. I don't even know if that works. But I'll be like, do we have the outline for tonight? Do we have this ready for tonight? I'll do it. You know, like, who are we doing next week? And, like, they're like, and I'm like, I swear, it's not personal. It's more for me. Like, I'm not telling you. I just need to know what we're doing. Or my anxiety's too high. Like, you know, like, I need to know what.
Now I know you talk to him. Now I know that you talk to him.
I'm not very good at winging it. I mean, I can, but that's not my best skill set, my brother.
Always a pleasure to have you on. As the listeners have seen from the title of the show, we are talking about Drake London tonight, USC wide receiver. I'm curious, what made you pick him? You had a decent amount of players on the board still. You went with Drake London.
Well, I wanted to get someone who there's a lot of chatter in the draft dynasty community, and I wanted to get someone where there were different opinions. You know, last year, you chose Najee Harris. We all had Najee Harris at the top of the board. I look around. I see a wide variety of Drake London rankings. I've basically seen them anywhere from 1 to 5. And I like that when there's difference of opinions on a player. Also, I felt pretty comfortable. I had identified a Matt. You mentioned my teammate Matt Hicks on the rookie big board. And we had identified as a Debbie asset Drake London 2 summers ago. And I think people thought I was out of my mind at the time, because I was clearly predicting a growth in production and growth in skill set. And obviously, in order to project them 2 years ago, you have to make kind of a leap similar to what I learned. And I learned this, Josh, the quarterback at Wyoming. If you looked at him at Wyoming and told me he was going to win 2 MVP awards, I did not see it. Was it in the outcome? Sure. But it was a 2% chance according to mine. So when I chose Drake London, I wanted to be able to talk about or even get people to think about, you have to project the player outside of what you have currently seen or a production model illustrates. And you know, Swag, I like my numbers. I like my production model. But Josh Allen taught me a huge rule that, hey, you have to be able to project. Now, we know not every athlete is going to hit their projections that you make. But Drake London, if you looked at him, if we were here in 2020, I might have been one of the only people who was saying Drake London is a Devy/Dynasty long-term asset. Now, he's going to be probably, I would guarantee now, a first-round pick. He might be the first receiver off the board, but probably in the top five, probably the top four, but there is difference of opinion. So I wanted to be able to come on, and I'll admit when I'm wrong. You know, Josh Allen, I had it wrong. I didn't project enough. Now, in fairness, I got a little lucky because my model did not like Daniel Jones of the Giants. I was very low on Daniel Jones, right? I mean, so you have two players who my model said, one of them turned out to be the best quarterback possibly in the NFL. And then the other one, you know, really, I don't even know if he should get the starting job in New York next year. That's a whole different story.
Yeah, we'll have to see what happens with Daniel Jones.
Yeah, and Swag, I bet you, I don't know if you remember this. You asked me last year, who was my number one dynasty quarterback? And do you remember who I said on your podcast? Josh Allen.
I think it was Josh Allen. I'm trying to think back, honestly, and like, because I don't think it was Mahomes.
It wasn't. I said, I take Josh Allen over Mahomes, and I had my reasons at the time. And I've been wrong plenty of times. But on that one hot take, you would ask me, Josh Allen has, and I'd still take him clearly number one right now over Patrick Mahomes. But I said that last year because I want to learn from my mistakes and I want to learn to get better. So I've actually done a lot of studying of Josh Allen as a Bill, because what did I miss? What did I not see? Where is he better than what I saw at Wyoming? You know, now there's a lot of factors, good coaching staff. Obviously he's a learner, so he's been able to learn and expand his game. But that's what I see with Drake London. The reason why I'm saying all of this, I said one thing to my teammate, Matt Hicks, last summer. I said, Matt, everything's going to come down to how did Drake London transition from the slot to the X? And what did he do? He moved from the slot to the X, Swag, and he hit, excuse my language, a goddamn grand slam. He was unbelievable. And if you did not think about that, if you did not perceive that, or if you did not know USC enough, because I said he is probably going to be moved from the slot to the X. Because if I was a head coach and I had a guy 6'5", 210, guess what I'm going to do? I'm moving him to the X. And I said to my teammate, Matt, that's going to determine the value of Drake London. And you know what, Swags? He was unbelievable. Too many people, and we're all guilty. I'm guilty also, but I'm trying to get better. You have to say to yourself, what I've seen is Drake first 2 years. He's only a slot receiver. But do I see skills underneath that production that says to me he can be better or improve? And he did it. And that's why I wanted to come on, because I think so many get into data-driven, and I love data, but I think film and data are equal. I'm one of the weirdos. I'm 50-50. You know, it's nature and nurture. I've said that a bunch of times. The best children have the best nature, but they also are in a nurturing environment. I don't think one is greater than the other. Same thing. I don't think film or data is necessarily for one another. You got to use both of them. You got to know the strengths and weaknesses, and you have to be able to project the athlete at the next level. That's why I came on, my friend.
I like it. I like it a lot. Man, you said a lot there. The film and analytics thing, like, that might be a conversation for another show.
It is.
Because I agree with you if you merge them just right. And I think that also takes an open mind.
Yes.
Especially from the analytics side. I've seen situations where I feel like the creator of an analytic model is worthless to them because they get so invested into it that that tool is actually worth more to me because I haven't built any of the, what I'm calling the unhealthy relationships with particular players while I'm building that model. So I think an analytic model needs to come with an open mind.
Yes.
Or yes, it can become absolutely worthless. And I think that that is one of the biggest problems with that. So to combine the two, analytics and film, I love that. I really do. You said consensus 1 through 5. That's a big range. Where exactly would you put Drake London today without landing spots in your rookie wide receiver rankings?
I just published it yesterday. And my final ranking as of now, number 4. Which you could say is a little ironic because I am a Drake London guy, but there are a few holes that I have concerns about. But when I look at the film and I see, I don't know if you've been able to watch it, and there's, it's hard to quantify hands, but there's two things that I like. My film research of Drake London says he has unbelievable hands. Swag, he's a hands catcher. I can't find, now I'm sure it exists. But I can't find a catch where it gets into his body. He drops a few, but the USC quarterbacks, they weren't the most accurate people on the face of the earth. But, you know, drops, I think they're overrated. I mean, that's a whole nother discussion. I never worry about drops. But his hand swags, when he has it, the vision is there. He's unbelievable. And then what I love, he has a 71% catch rate. See, this is where film and analytics matter. I love my film study. Drake London has unbelievable hands, dude. Smooth, natural. They're long, so he can catch. He caught a lot of passes where you're like, how did he do that? Because the quarterback throw was poor, right? Yeah. Because he's 6'5", he can cover a lot of territory on very poorly thrown football. You know, if it's 2 feet over him, he's got it. 2 feet off the ground, he's got it. I mean, it's pretty amazing. And his hands are big, not Treylon Burks big, but his hands are big and he snatches it. But then I look and I say, 71% catch rate. Ooh. And this is not Joe Burrow, Tua, right, and Mac Jones throwing the football to him. Mm-hmm. So what do I have? I have a perfect combination. My film study says he has great hands. He's a hands catcher. The numbers tell me he has a 71% catch rate. Hey, I'm all in. Like, I know he can catch the ball. And let me digress, because that's a great, what you just said. But I got to say one thing, to understand Drake London, USC is much more prolific at wide receiver than people give him credit for. They're not Ohio State, not Alabama, they're not LSU. But after that, USC might be the fourth best program in the country. Who did he sit behind? Michael Pittman just had 1,000 yards as a soft. Let me beat. He sat behind Michael Pittman. That's why he played slot. Swag. You got to know the coaching, the context, and the team. Well, I got this 6'5 freshman. I got Michael Pittman, a fifth-year senior who's dominating at the X. No one could cover him in the slot at the back 12, swag. There were literally no cornerback. You're telling me the third cornerback in the back 12 is going to cover a 6'5, 210 dude.
Right.
It wasn't happening. But then what happened? Oh, they had a guy named Amon-Ra St. Brown. Well, what did they do? Amon-Ra St. Brown moved to the X. Mm-hmm. Well, once again, I have a 6'5", 210 dynamo in the slot. But what do you do as a coaching staff? We just saw Amon-Ra St. Brown, one of the great rookie seasons, right?
Yep.
Not Justin Jefferson, not Jamar Chase. But dang, that was a good season. Won me a lot of money in DFS. And won me 2 championships. I got him on redraft leagues like as my 3rd and 4th receiver. So anyways, then they moved Drake London, which I knew was going to happen. Because what are you going to do as a coaching staff? And hey, I've been wrong. Sometimes coaches don't do what you expect them to do, right? I mean, I was projecting, right? If I had a 6'5", 210-pound junior, what am I going to do with him? I'm going to move that big boy out to the X.
Yeah.
Right? But what happened? Dude, he had, do I have the numbers here? He, I think, oh, here it is. In 8 games, Swags, 119 targets. They were literally, they were giving him 12, 13 targets a game.
Yeah.
88 receptions. Check out these numbers because I had them in a, you know, college fantasy football league. Points per reception. Here's the number swag. 12, 4, 13, 10, 9, 16, 5, 9. Those are number of receptions. Went over 100 yards 7 times.
Wow.
Dude, he can handle the physicality. He can. He is a classic X receiver. But what I love about him, Swags, if he's not ready from day one, put him in the slot as a rookie.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. That's what I was going to say, because you're getting me excited for that X role, that 6'5 frame, the catch radius. But you've mentioned all of his experience out of the slot. So at this point, I'm curious, like, where do you perceive him landing to use that skill set? And before you answer, how crazy would it be if Amon-Ra St. Brown stayed in the slot and we put him on the outside in Detroit and they switch roles?
If Drake London's there in the second round, I think you have to take him if you're the Lions. That is, but I just, because the value is going to be, would be such tremendous. We know they need wide receivers.
Yep.
But Swag, here's a nice thing. Both of them, you can play them interchangeably in that scenario, right? You can, you know, maybe, you know, you could have London master three routes out of the slot, three routes out of the X, and say, this is all we're going to have you do right now. You're going to have six routes. You're either at the slot or the X. That's it, young man. Amon, you're better. You're awesome. We're going to move you all over the place. Get ready to play every position, right? That's what you could do, in my opinion. Let me just do one thing. Go ahead. You want to know where he could go?
Draft. I mean, what are you, what's on your head? Like, nobody's going to like Detroit but me. I know you've got the Michigan sweatshirt on, but I know you don't care about the Lions.
So, you know, the Jets could use him, but I don't think the Jets will draft another receiver that early. I think they have the 10th pick. You know, I forgot.
They have a lot of picks, and they have a lot of money.
And I don't see how they can't draft a wide receiver. And you know what? With Elijah Moore and Drake London, is, you see, I'm a big Elijah Moore guy. London would look really nice on the outside with Elijah Moore in the slot, dude. So that's a very...
And I know you love Zach Wilson, so you just gave Zach Wilson Drake London. Let's not forget about Corey Davis here, because in that wide receiver room, if Corey Davis is like your perceivable second or third option behind Elijah Moore and Drake London, watch out. Like, that's a pretty nice receiver group for your Zach Wilson.
Oh my God, yeah. And then they get some running back help, or at least Michael Carter takes a leap. Now, the two spots that scare me, brother, the Eagles and the Browns.
Same.
Like yes. No one wants. But here's what's going to happen.
They need that kind of body for the inaccurate quarterbacks that they have.
They do. But here's my concern. What I am a little concerned about with Drake London, he doesn't get a lot of separation. But what you need, Swag, is a quarterback who lets it rip. Meaning, I know he only has a half a yard of separation. What Brett Favre, John Elway, Aaron Rodgers, all the greats, I'm talking Hall of Famers, they let the goddamn ball rip and let the wide receiver make a play.
Yeah.
If he gets Daniel Jones, you know, if he gets Baker Mayfield, they are Derek Carr. They are, I want to see you open, then I'm going to throw it.
I hear you. That's a good point. Yeah.
Drake London needs the quarterback who just
Zach
says,
Wilson's going to chuck it to him.
Well, that is, Wilson will
go back to the Jets.
But Wilson does have that foot spot. Look, I've never seen a quarterback from Dan Marino, Dan Fouts, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, none of the great ones. They all have the chutzpah where sometimes I have a great wide receiver. I'm just letting the guy make a play. It doesn't matter. You know, I know this is a little Dez Bryant. When Dez Bryant was in his prime with the Cowboys, he didn't get a lot of separation, my friend, remember? But what did Romo do? Romo had the confidence that Dez Bryant was a baller. He was, you know, he was competitive and he was going to go and get it. And that's what you need. And sometimes when I watch Baker Mayfield, I watch Derek Carr, Daniel Jones, you're like, dude, in the NFL, that is open, young man. Like, you're not, you might once in a while get your 3 yards of separation. But in the NFL, you've got to let it rip. So that is a little bit, but I think his versatility and his size and the fact that he's been peppered with that many targets in a game show some team's going to fall in love with it.
Yeah. It sounds like your concerns are a little bit of separation and his hands.
Yeah, clearly.
Outside of that, do you have any other concerns?
You know, I don't think his acceleration's great. It's good. He likes to stack people and he uses his body frame. So he can go outside of the hash marks because he uses his body and he can stack you. He will use a few double moves. He's with his big body where he's seen to be flat, you know what I mean? But he's also against Pac-12 cornerbacks. These aren't, you know, NFL cornerbacks. But I would say he looks like he's very athletic. I don't know if he's going to be, I think he'll dominate the intermediate part of the field. I think he can get deep, but I don't expect him to be a home run hitter like Julio Jones, right? He could do it. You scheme him. Maybe you have a cornerback who's just slower, smaller. He could beat him deep by stacking him, but I don't think he's going to be a burner who you consistently see making plays 25, 30 yards down the field.
I think that makes sense. Catch the ball and then hope that there's not too many people around him. And it's tough to comp a 6'5 wide receiver too, to be honest with you, especially these days.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I hate the Calvin Johnson because I think Calvin Johnson was just so good. I don't like the Hall of Fame compared. I don't know. Maybe I'm too old for this. You ever remember Harold Carmichael of the Eagles way back in the day in the 70s? Plaxico Burress when he was with the Steelers and the Giants? I think that's what we're looking at with Drake London. I think Drake London could be a Plaxico Burress in his prime. And if people remember before the incident, unfortunately, you can look it up if you don't know what happened to Plaxico. Mm-hmm. But Plaxico was one heck of a receiver before he had the injury and it just took away some things and it fell apart. But Plaxico was very underrated, a very good. I think that's what Drake London, you know, and Harold Carmichael looked like a heck of a receiver for the Eagles in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
So I think like that's what I think.
John, I think you have crushed Drake London out of this park. Who's your guy in the 2022 draft?
I fell in love with him. It's Garrett Wilson, Ohio State.
Okay.
Dude, you can't cover him. Can't cover him. Watch the film. So here's what's interesting. When I plugged in I plug in the numbers first because the season ends, right? So I plug in the numbers and you look at Garrett Wilson, you're like, yeah. You know, that's nice. You know, nothing, but nothing like no Elijah Moore good. You know, no DJ Moore when, like, guys, when you plugged him, you're like, holy crap, look at that, right? You look, you're like, that's really good. Then about a month ago, I started putting on more tape because I have my notes. I'm looking through Garrett Wilson. Now, if you know Ohio State, they're loaded swag, loaded at wide receiver. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking, yeah, I like Garrett Wilson and I was high on him and everything that I plugged in the tape, dude. You can't cover him. Swags. He is literally open. He gets 4 yards of separation, 30 yards on the field all day long. I've never seen this before, Swags. His second level separation is out of control. There are literally times you don't see a cornerback on the field, dude. Like, it's unbelievable. And he's running 25-yard crossers. Like, literally 25-yard crossers. Unbelievable separation, dude. Garrett Wilson is my guy. Love him.
So if Drake London is 4, Wilson's 2?
Yes, I have Wilson.
I like it.
But he's my guy. And if for your listener, I'm in love with big boys. Treylon Burks, 6'3", 225. When you can ball, you just hurt people. SEC, you got to go for the ceiling. And, you know, I think I learned a little bit with my DK Metcalf. I had DK Metcalf 3rd or 4th. And, you know, because, you saw the time at the combine in the 20-yard shuttle or something.
Yeah.
When you're that big and you're just that much better than everyone, just get
he's
the young
a
man
specimen. Ball. I mean, he's an absolute specimen.
It is. It's just crazy. And then number three. Now, Drake London could jump him if the medicals are negative. Jameson Williams, Alabama dude. Unbelievable deep threat. He's what the Raiders thought Henry Ruggs is.
Oh, look at that.
When they drafted Henry Ruggs, they were hoping for Jameis Williams. They got Henry. And I'm not even talking about what happened.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean.
I'm just like, talking.
Yeah. Ruggs started to show some life right yes. before the accident. But, yeah, I know what you mean.
Jameis, I was lower than consensus. I had Henry Ruggs at 6 when he came out. I have Williams at 3. Williams is better than Ruggs. Now, we have to get the medicals on the knee.
Yeah.
But
could be a bargain in your rookie drafts, too.
Oh, you know, if he falls, it is a bargain. I agree with that, my friend. Because, mm-hmm. man, dude, he is mm-hmm. on the slot running deep. Oh, yep. he's a problem.
Yeah.
He's a problem.
Always a pleasure to talk with you, John. I think we're wrapping this up. What's some advice you have for the listeners, though, while they enter their rookie drafts? Maybe it's Debbie advice. Maybe anything you want them to do as they're entering this time of the year, something to help them put those rosters into shape.
Draft the best player available. My biggest lesson is I'd rather have a great third or fourth receiver than a bad running back who can't get on the field. Like, even if you need running backs, and this is going to sound crazy, kind of the league setup. So I kind of get, they only make you play one running back, but four flex. I won a league, my friend, Dynasty. I had Duke Johnson, Chuba Hubbard, Daryl Henderson, and another late round Elijah Mitchell, but it wasn't Elijah Mitchell. I literally was paying one running back week. But I drafted Elijah Moore in the first round last year. And now I have Cooper Kupp, Davante Adams, Elijah wow. Moore, Michael Pittman. And last year I drafted Michael Pittman. You know, you have to take the player who's going to play and produce. Now, if that was a two running back league, I'm not sure if I would have won it because it did hurt. You know, I was literally only playing one running back a week.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't draft bad running backs. I got Chuba Hubbard last year in the second round. And you know what? In a PPR with 10-man starting rosters, Chuba was all right. Daryl Henderson was good the first half of the year, you know? And then mm-hmm. I had Duke Johnson just came out of literally nowhere sitting on my you know, you have those veterans on your dynasty roster.
Yeah.
You're like, wait a second.
Chuba Hubbard was fine. You knew that you could start Hubbard anytime yes. McCaffrey was out, you weren't going to get McCaffrey numbers, but you could have them, like you said, in your flex. When you got four flex spots like that,
yeah
I dig
it. But I am a big draft the best player. If a top four wide receiver's on the board, but you're going for the sixth running back, there's way too much risk flag.
Yep.
You gotta go for that. You gotta go for the player. Because you might be able to trade that. You know, what can you do with running back for getting, you know, so I believe best player of it.
Yeah. No, I dig it. And I agree. You can always trade at some point. It's not over once you draft that player.
Yes.
John, tell them who you are, where they can find everything you're putting out. And not that there's one spot, but
thanks. So my Twitter handle is GridironSkull91. I couldn't afford the A and the R when I signed up 7 years ago. But follow me online at Twitter. I love it. My written profile, swag, I'm finally old. 9th year in a row, my written profile are on footballdiehards.com. Right now, Drake London's up there. It's free for anyone who's listening. They want to see my scouting report. But I think how he looks in my look, Drake London there. And then on, you mentioned it, the draft seminar is on the Rookie Big Board channel with Matt Hicks. Go to YouTube, type in Rookie Big Board. And every week we record 4 shows, each one between 9 and 11 minutes. And we break down the numbers in the film of the prospects. And right now there are 16 players up there if you want. And we're going to go at least do 40, hopefully 44 by the time the draft kicks off, my friend.
Yeah, nice. And they're just nice, quick. I mean, like you said, 9 to 11 minutes. That's easy. Easy watches. Appreciate you as always. I am at Swagzilla0G. This is at Rookie Fever. And we are out. When you kiss me, fever, when you hold me tight, fever in the morning, fever all through the night. Sun lights up the daytime, moon lights up the night. I light up when you call my name, and you know I'm gonna treat you right. Rookie fever, when you kiss me, when you hold me tight.
A 101 scout and he's never done this to before. And run, I told you anyone, size and speed, just unreal landing spot, not ideal. Wait, what's this breakout? It's full Rookie Fever stage.
Romeo loved Juliet, Juliet, she felt the same. When he pulled his arms around her, he said, Julie, baby, you're my flame. Now we get a fever when we kiss it, fever with our flame and you. Fever, I'm a fire, fever, yeah, I burn for soup.
So who's got the fever? Cause I got the fever, now you got the fever. So she got the fever, and he got the fever. No cure for the fever, so let's feed the fever. Thank God for the fever.
Thank God for the fever.
Who's got the fever? Now you got the fever.
What a lovely way you burn.
Who's got the fever? Now you got the fever.